group than I anticipated, considering the circumstances, and want to just mention a few people for prayer. We got so many people that have tested positive for the virus. I'm not even going to try to name them all. However, there are four particular people that are in the hospital in or related to our church and our people. Valerie Alba's son, John Reynolds, he's been on the ventilator for several days. He too, you know, the coronavirus. Rhett's grandfather, Jerry Mims, he's passed the virus, but he's in the hospital with a lot of complications that have resulted from the virus. Nora Mae Roberts is in the hospital. She doesn't have the virus, but her health is failing very quickly. At 96, I believe she is. I'm pretty sure. So that's something that she's probably not going to get to come home. Pray for Nora. I'm leaving one more out on the COVID list. I knew I should have wrote this down. Y'all just bear with me for a moment. I hate to leave somebody out that was... is there somebody else in the hospital with COVID and I can't even... Susanna Cisneros, thank you so much. Elvis' sister, Susanna, she's also still on the ventilator, and so we need to keep her in prayer. And again, beyond that, there's so many. I mean, when I say many of our church members that have tested positive, but we've been so blessed. Out of all of them, only four, because I've kept tabs as best I could on everybody, only four have actually had any significant sickness, and all four were more like a flu-like symptoms, this sort of thing, nothing critical, nothing to go to the hospital over. So we're blessed. The remainder of them, in fact, Martha has already got past her quarantine period, is back. The rest of them has been really minor, you know, scratchy throat, dull headache, low-grade fever perhaps, maybe a cough. These sort of things, just very, very minor, which is encouraging. The numbers being so great, we're very fortunate. We're very blessed in that respect. And so keep praying for those that have the virus. And I tell you what, in 2 weeks, our crowd's going to jump because all the people with the virus can come back. And that's gonna be a good thing. I look forward to that. Next week, we're going to, I don't know what kind of schedule we'll go back to with the services, but we'll have David back and Linda will be back, and we will have a music service next week. It's so helpful to be able to sing those praises before the preaching. So that being said, let me go ahead and say that this Wednesday night will be no adult services, just be the kids' services. That's all we'll have on Wednesday night. Let me lead us in prayer, and then we'll get right to our message, and we'll let you guys get in and out of here. And I appreciate so much. Let me just say how much I appreciate our young couples being such an example. We need your leadership, an example in our church. The older people, they're just diehards, man. They're not scared of anything. They're going to come to church, and that might be part of the problem that we've had such an outbreak. But the younger generation, y'all are doing good. Follow the lead of your elder adults and be safe, but be committed to your church. Okay, let's pray together. Father, thank you for bringing us to the house of God this morning. We regret, Father, that we're having such a difficult time assembling, but Father, you know each detail of the situation, and we trust you to lead us through this and give us wisdom. We trust, Father, that you're going to build your church stronger and stronger through these trying times. And I ask, God, as we gather around your word today, that you'll speak to hearts and lives. I pray, Father, that you'll just give us insight into the truth of your word. And, Father, I pray for those that are watching us at home, that they too will feel the leadership of your Holy Spirit and the teaching of the Word of God. And, Father, for those that are in the hospital, Lord, we think of Susanna Cisneros. We think of Nora Mae Roberts. We think of Rhett's grandfather, Jerry. We also think of John Reynolds. Father, these people that are having such a difficult time. Father, Pete Marino also failed to mention, Father, he too needs your help. He needs your grace, and he's battling this virus as well. And I just pray, Father, now for you to bless us and be with us, bless the kids in the back, and we thank you for the Lord's day, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, and again, Pete Marino is one that I needed to mention that is Amy and Tim Marino. This is Tim's father, and he's very, very ill. I'm not sure if he's on the ventilator, but he is in the hospital with COVID as well. Okay, Luke chapter 10, and I gave y'all, I told you I'd get you in here and out of here in 35 minutes. However, we did start about 5 minutes late, okay? So give me a little room, a little wiggle room. I'm rarely long-winded, so we'll get you in and out. We'll do that, okay? Luke chapter 10, if we had to pick one word to describe the lives of 21st century Americans, it would be busy. Our schedules are full. Our days are hectic. Our demands are great. Our responsibilities are many. And most people are doing everything they can to get everything done in all those areas. And Christians are no different. We're not any different than anyone else. We too, when it comes to busyness, we have hectic schedules. We are burning our candles at both ends as well. And while it's always commendable to be industrious, it's commendable to be diligent and responsible, we also have to be careful that our busyness doesn't have a cost to it. It doesn't have, it doesn't come at the expense of more important things. There can be a lot of things that result from us just burning the candle at both ends, and strained marriages, a lot of emotional turmoil as a result of people running wide open, having that 90 mile an hour schedule. Maybe it's anxiety, depression, sometimes neglected children. They're not getting the time they need from their parents. Sometimes it's health issues, but sometimes it takes its toll on our health. And so any of these things can be a price that is paid for trying to keep the pace that really God never intended for us to keep. Much of the misery that we find in society is the result of what I'm talking about, just busyness and overworking ourselves and never slowing down. History tells us a story of the 14th century where there was a global pandemic, and it was it took the lives of well over 75 million people. Now, some scholars estimate it to have been as many as 20 million people that died there in the 14th century. One third One third of Europe's population succumbed to this pandemic, and the plague was given the name the Black Death. If you're a student of history, you've probably read about it at some point. The Black Death swept across Europe and many other through Asia, and it had no rhyme or reason to it. It didn't make any sense. It even took lives of people who had not been exposed to other people, people that were all alone. It was still wiping people out, and for the longest time, it was a total mystery. They couldn't figure out what was going on and what was happening. And then finally, the puzzle was solved. The Black Death was being spread by rats, mice, and those little rope-tailed, beady-eyed animals, rodents that really make all of our skin crawl. They're really, in most cases, rats and mice are pretty harmless. They're really not large enough to cause us any harm, but in this case, they left behind them a trail of devastation. Now, I tell you that in the way of illustration. The Black Death came and went centuries ago, but we still have a problem today, and it affects every bit as many people as the Black Death did. Millions and millions of people succumb to what is not caused by rats, but what's caused by the rat race. The rat race, folks. 100 miles an hour, 24/7, wide open pace that you and I and many Americans keep, that we've gotten accustomed to, and it has its casualties, friends. It has its loss of life. Now, it's not physical life that's being lost, it's quality of life. Just simply being too busy. And we're so fast and we're so steady that we don't even have time to hear the voice of God. And the Bible tells us in Psalms 46 and verse 10, God says this, you've all heard the voice, the verse. It says, be still and know that I am God. What's God saying there? He says, be still. What does that mean? It reminds me kind of my old grandma when I was a kid. She always said, get still. Get still. And it was usually when I was supposed to be trying to take a nap or be going to bed and I was probably wallowing around. She was simply saying, quit moving. Just quit moving for a minute. In a very similar way, I believe God's telling us in Psalms 46:10, just quit moving for a moment. Get still. Be still and know that I am God. Folks, we have to learn to set things aside and schedule time with God. Schedule time that where we can be still and hear from our Heavenly Father. It's in stillness that we get to know Him. It's in quietness that we hear His voice. It's in prayer and meditation that we can thoughtfully speak words of praise and thanks to Him. It's in stillness that we get the rest that you and I need so we can go out and be healthy spiritually and physically to go out and serve God the way He desires for us to serve. So friends, I know the busyness that I'm talking about is in most, especially Christians' life, is mostly good stuff, okay? Mostly good things. We're working hard. We're maybe in some cases volunteering for services and things of this nature. And it's mostly good, but in and of itself, it mostly seems harmless. But if it comes at the expense of our time with God, then it's not harmless. Sometimes there's negative consequences to it. Sometimes it's like I told you about the rats with the Black Death. The rats were fairly harmless rodents. They were not big enough to cause any harm. But what I didn't tell you is when it got right down to it, it was not the rats. It was the fleas that were on the rats that carried the plague. You see, the rats were just, the fleas that carried the plague were just hitching a ride on the rats that ran wide open from ship to ship and from nation to nation, from just transported in any way they could be as mice do. They were carrying the fleas. You see, the little tiny, unsuspected, seemingly, mostly not even seen, fleas were the problem. So what am I saying? That's our problem sometimes. A lot of times we think the rat race is fine and we're running to and fro, but little tiny things are happening that are in the negative, that's costing us and are harmful to us in many ways. And so first and foremost, friends, one of the biggest problems is the fact that our time and our energy, it gets consumed by being so busy and so just taxing ourselves the way we do. And by the time we get to the things of God, we're running on empty. We're already spent. We're having the spiritual life choked out of us. It's not that we intend that. It's just the result of being so busy. And friends, we don't have to be casualties of the rat race. We don't have to succumb to this. You and I can say to her, I can't change your schedule. I can't organize your schedule, and you can't organize mine. It's up to every individual to stop and say, you know what? I do need to slow down for God. At least for some time each day, just give God a chance to speak to me and give myself a chance to speak to God and to commune with Him. It's up to us to say, I'm not going to let life and its fast pace steal what's most important to me. Of course, our families are very important to us. Our marriages, they're very important. Of course, our kids, our grandkids, those things are very important. And we should do everything we can to cultivate and strengthen those. And that's no doubt important. But usually the part of our life that is first to get neglected is our time with God. We'll usually cut Him out first thing. And that's the relationship that we need the most. That's the strength that we need the most is spiritual strength. Life without time for Jesus will usually turn into a life of crisis at some point. And folks, I'm not just talking about Sunday morning. Sunday morning is very important, or any church service is important. But that's just the beginning. You see, that's just the first day of the week to get us started. And we should, throughout the week, still spend time with God. So let's get right to our text this morning. And again, I'll be very brief. We're in Luke chapter 10. And we'll begin in verse 38. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she would help me.' Jesus said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" You see, this is telling us a story, and it's not a parable. It's not a fable of any kind. It's an actual experience, an encounter that Jesus had with two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha was busy, 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 kind of caught up in the rat race, if you will. Mary, on the other hand, had taken time to slow down, and she said, sat down at the feet of Jesus and was just, as the scripture tells us, just spending time hearing his word. There are lessons that you and I can learn from this. First of all, Martha, being the busy one, thought she was doing fine. Notice verse 40. She says, "But Martha was cumbered about with much caring and came and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?'" You know what? She thinks she's doing fine. In her mind, hey, I'm serving, I'm giving, I'm being diligent and productive, I'm right on track, I'm doing things that need to be done, I'm getting the things done. Mary's not. Really, Martha didn't have a clue. She was the one that was out of balance. She was the one that was not taking time to just slow down and stop what she was doing and hear from the Lord. That's modern Christianity in a nutshell. We simply don't realize that we're out of balance so often. The world applauds those who are in the rat race. The faster we run, the more the world cheers us on. That's the nature of things in our society. We think that we have to have every conceivable gadget, every conceivable luxury, all the things that are supposed to simplify our life and make life more convenient are the very things that we're working extra hours to pay for. So it really doesn't make sense. We think that a new car or a bigger house is going to make us happy. We think that money's going to solve our problems, and we run wide open and fight tooth and nail to get all of that. And we do it at the expense of the things of God. Think about this for a moment. I wonder if one of the lessons that God wants us to learn from this COVID pandemic is that we're too busy. I wonder if we're leaving him out in such that he's going to teach us through this, that maybe through quarantine, maybe through stay-at-home orders or unemployment or whatever, that he might be teaching us, hey, I can get you still if I need you to. I can slow you down if I need to. It could be that God is using these things as tools to show you and I that we need to get at his feet and get still and hear his voice. If that's the case, friends, I really would like to learn it. I'd really like to get the lesson that he wants me to have and not have to go through it again. Here lately, I've talked to you a lot about yesteryear, about the lives of generations past. We talked a lot about that a few weeks ago. And the reason I do that so often is because I love old everything old I love. And you've heard me tell it before that much of my reading and much of my studying outside of the Bible is of old-time preachers and old-time theologians. And when I say old, I'm talking about 18th, 19th century, early 20th century writers and theologians. I like them the most. Why? Because during those times, those people kept a much slower pace. They had fewer distractions. There was much less information available to them. They couldn't click on their phone and look up statistics on a subject. They had to get in things and they had to dig. They had to go deep to find out things. And so they got in. They took the time. They had the time, first of all. And then they took that time to get in the deeper things of God, and that created within them a spiritual depth that's kind of hard to find today. And so when I read them, folks, it comes out to me, the spiritual depth, and I'm not opposed to modern authors. I have read them and do read them periodically, and modern theologians, okay? But I'm just simply saying it's rare amongst modern theologians to find the kind of depth that I find in Charles Haddon Spurgeon or Alexander McLaren and so many more names that I can name. Folks, I'm not trying to tell you this to say that I have the balance that I need to have, because I don't slow down nearly enough for God. I'm not telling you that I've got this figured out, but Martha didn't know she was out of balance, and Jesus is pointing that out to her. And maybe, friends, if we'll listen, he's pointing it out to you and I today. Maybe he's revealing to us today that, hey, you're one of them that needs to slow down. You're one of them that I don't hear much out of. You're one of them that I really don't find at my feet listening. Notice some of the subtle things that we find in verse 40 that indicate that Martha had more problems than she realized. The first part of verse 40, it says that Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Cumbered about means distracted or drawn away. And think about this for a moment. She was in the presence of the Lord. She was in the presence of Jesus, the Son of God. And because other things had her so preoccupied, she was drawn away. She was distracted in her mind, too distracted, if you will, to appreciate what was right in front of her, the Lord. How easily that can happen to you and I. We don't mean any harm. We don't realize it. But even sometimes when we're in church, and you got to admit this to be the case, even sometimes when we're reading our Bible and praying, a thousand thoughts are going through our head and drawing us away from what God's trying to say to us. I do it. A thousand things are distracting us. We get so distracted because we have too much on our plates, too many irons in the fire. We're burning the candle at both ends. And I want you to notice what else is said here in the latter part of verse 40. Jesus said to her, she said to the Lord, I'm sorry, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she would help. Here's what we're seeing in there. We're seeing frustration in Martha. The irritability is coming out in what she has to say. Martha was a good woman. There's no way around it. We find her elsewhere in Scripture. She was loved. She loved the Lord. She loved her sister Mary. She was a good woman. But what's taking place here, she's become impatient. She's become frustrated, and she's beginning to let that be displayed in her words. That's what hectic, overloaded lives do to you and I. They sometimes put us on edge. Sometimes we get frustrated and we begin to get short with people. Sometimes we lash out at people and try to hurt them. And that's not how you and I want to be. I promise you that's not how we want to be. Verse 41 tells us, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, Martha, you're anxious. That's what the word careful means, is anxious. You're anxious and you're worried about things that you got too much on your plate. The more we pile on our plate, the more hectic our lives are, the less peace and tranquility that we experience. We worry about things. We don't sleep well. That just adds to the problem. That just exacerbates the problem. Fatigue, excessive responsibility, heavy burdens, hectic schedules. All of these things combined lead to one thing. And Jesus says it in verse 41. You're troubled. Anybody remember the old Travis Tritt song, T-R-O-U-B-L-E? Did I spell it right? Let's sing the song. I smell T-R-O-U-B-L-E. Well, Jesus is saying that to him. He said, you're troubled. Friends, I'm not trying to imply that if we slow down and we have more time for God that our troubles are over, because that's not the case. We'll always have troubles in this life. That's the way that's going to work, because we're made for heaven. But I am saying we don't have to be troubled like Martha. We don't have to be cumbered about. We don't have to be drawn away. We don't have to be distracted. That's a choice that we make. Let me leave you with this thought, and we're going to read verse 42, and then I'm going to let you go. Verse 42, this is Jesus continuing to speak. He says, one thing, folks, is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Martha, I want you to look at your sister Mary. Mary has chosen one thing. Mary has chosen one thing that is needful and good. In other words, she's chosen something that's necessary and also beneficial. And it's going to reward her. When he says that it shall not be taken away from her, he's simply saying it's going to pay off for her. It's going to bring its reward. It's what's best for her. And what was that one thing? To go back up to verse 39, we see it. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You know what I believe God's saying to you and I today in the Word of God? I just need you guys to do one thing. Slow down, sit at my feet, and listen to my voice. How often we miss the voice of God because our lives are too noisy to hear it. How often we miss the gentle touch of God because we're moving too fast to feel it. How often we miss the blessings of God because our lives are too blurred with activity that we don't see those blessings. One thing is needful. I didn't want to say Martha because we've been harping on Martha, but Martha, go ahead. This Martha's doing real good, by the way. And the other Martha was a good woman and doing well, but she had missed, like you and I do, what was most important. And her sister set an example to say, hey, I'm not going to miss my time with Jesus. Which way have you chosen? If you're like me, I probably need to make some serious adjustments in this area, and perhaps you do as well. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to have a few moments there. If you'd like to come and pray at this altar, you're welcome to. For our friends at home, we love you, and we're glad you joined us this morning. We're going to get on track soon, and we're going to fill this house up, God's house up. But right now, we're kind of separated, and you're virtual, and we're here in the house of God. Why don't each one of us, wherever we are, in our living rooms or in the auditorium, just bow our hearts and our minds towards God and say, God, teach me to slow down where I can hear your voice. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God's spoken to you. You come. Thank you. Folks, let me dismiss us in a word of prayer, and let me just encourage you to pray. There's so many people, again, with the COVID. Most of us know who they are. But beyond that, we still have. Now, we lost a couple of people this week. We're having foy service today at 2 o'clock in Snyder, a graveside service. Okay, it's going to be a good service. I'll try to honor him as best we can. Hope if you can be there for that. We also lost Ed Moore and had his services a couple of days ago. And then we still have, six or seven people that are struggling with cancer on top of all this others. We just got a lot of people in need of prayer. Pray that this looks like this COVID is going to run the gamut. And so let's just pray that God would shield each person from any kind of respiratory issues that would put them in the hospital and especially keep them away from the ventilator. So far, so good. Our church members have weathered this pretty well. We do have some peripheral people that I mentioned earlier. Keep them in your prayers. And I'm glad you were here. Next week, we're going to see. We'll get back to a song service, I know, next week. Now, what the schedule will be like, I'll just have to let you know at a later time. We're just going to have to feel our way through this, okay? God bless you. So glad you were here. I'm going to ask Jeff, will you lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.